And now we're here in studio with our guest today, our second guest today, or maybe our third, because the first guests were two. Our third guest, who is Fail Green, not which, who is Fail Green? Fail Green is a pillar of Hudson and Columbia County and all the extending territories. And I was teasing Fail earlier that there was a time earlier, not so long ago, that every time I opened a publication or looked at Gossips of Rivertown or saw the Registered Star, there was a picture of Fail at some opening or closing or something going on, and there was Fail, you know, from the right, Fail Green. Anyway, let's meet Fail Green. Fail, say hello to our folks.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, and Fail, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get here?
Well, I got here in 1966 when dinosaurs roamed the earth and the cement plants were pumping grit into the air because my husband of then, he's subsequently not any longer with us, but anyway, we drew a circle around New York, a two-hour circle, and saw what we could afford in that circle, and it was Columbia County or not at all. So we found a little old farmhouse that had never had electricity. It was in the middle of nowhere in Ghent, or up above Ghent, for I think it was $20,000 with 70 acres. And we bought it. And my father-in-law, who lived outside of Poughkeepsie, said, well, you found a place with absolutely nothing going for it, and there's nothing in that county. But it was beautiful, and we loved it. It was so different from today.
I can only imagine what 1966 was like.
Just amazing. I mean, a train ran right down the main street of Chatham, and that was the train that he took on Friday nights. We were weekenders. I drove up with baby twins and a five-year-old. And if I didn't fall off the road in the snow or something, I got to the place and then picked him up. But once in a while, that train did not run. And we came into Hudson. I needed to meet the Hudson train. And Hudson was absolutely nobody's business at the time. Warren Street was full of empty places because the cement plant world was winding down. So it wasn't like we hear a lot about the glory days of the cement plants, and perhaps they were. I wasn't here, and I don't know. But it wasn't very gorgeous. One January night, absolutely so cold you couldn't even believe it, but clear and the stars sparkling, picked up Jerry Green in Hudson, and I started up Warren Street, and he said, ugh, what a terrible town. I pulled over, and I said, get out of the car. He said, what have I done? I said, nothing. Just look up. Look at the cornices on these buildings. And he said, this place must have been something once upon a time.
Mm-hmm.
I had started studying, looking up what there was about Hudson, which was not a lot, and getting more and more intrigued with the place, and I've loved it ever since.
That's great. How long have you been up here full time, so to speak? Because you do have a house in Maine that you go to in the summers.
But 1997.
Okay.
So I think that's 20 years.
That's 20 years
it was like,
of full time.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon late from my memory, but
yes.
Still.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Mine too. Because I came here in 2001, and even then I began to see pictures of Fail Green, the fabled Fail.
Oh, dear.
The fabled Fail.
Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
So how did you get involved in everything?
Well, that's a good question. Oh, well, of course, the real key was the cement plant fight.
Mm.
That anybody who wasn't here then, which sounds very us and them-ish, and it isn't really, because it kind of ended the worst of the us and them days. Some people would argue with me about that, but we got to know, everybody got to know tons of people all over the place. And I lived in Claverick in those days, and we had Concerned Women of Claverick, which was don't mess with the Concerned Women of Claverick, because we were fierce. And we went everywhere. We talked. We met. We marched. We wore outfits. We sold stuff in tag sales. We raised money. And we had, I have to admit, a marvelous time, culminating in that magic, magic night when we got the judgment from the Department of State. And it was one of the glorious days of my life. It was hard to believe that it had really happened, that the grassroots people had beat out this monster corporation. So that was wonderful. And then after that, of course, everybody knew everybody else, so we all went and did more stuff.
Yeah.
It was
when
grand.
Was that judgment came down?
Oh, dear. It was just in the paper. So was it? Oh, you know something?
I
think it was 2004.
Yeah, because I was already up here,
right.
Which I came here in
you
2001,
were. Yeah,
and was here for the last days of the fight.
Right.
Which in Claverick, everywhere you went, there were signs that I'm sure the fierce women of
yes.
Claverick put signs up saying "Stop the plant!
Stop the plant!
Stop the plant!"
And we went to all the meetings and we all talked and carried on. It was really splendid. A splendid time for the community. And, you know, we might not have actually known a lot of people in Hudson had it not been for the cement plant fight, because we were all in the same room frequently. And aren't we glad that that thing is not there pumping out even more grit?
Yes.
So.
And now I have to take a little break here, not a break, but just I'm a little overdue in announcing this is WGXC ACRA. I have to do that regularly to make sure that we comply with the FCC. So WGXC, you're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson, Catskill, Claverick, Philmont, any other place in Columbia and Greene County. This is the voice of our community. And today, one of those great voices, Fail Green, is with us. And Fail, what else have you done up here? Because also, one of the things I've seen you very much associated with is the Hudson Opera House.
Well, that's one of the great loves of my life. And it's sort of ironic and yet fulfilling that we are leaving just as the theater opens. I think I've been on the board for about 15 years, from the days when we, you know, it was just pennies, not even nickels and dimes, and so hard to get attention. But Gary went out, he got those grants from the state, and just never, ever, ever stopped working. Got what I think is a wonderful board together. I know everybody's up in arms about name changes and this and that, but it is so not important.
I wasn't sure that I would bring that up, but since you did.
Yes, got to bring that up. Just get over the whole thing. It'll be called whatever it's called. It will find its own level. But when you all see that theater, if you are not absolutely knocked sideways, I have no faith in your power of amazement, because it is a thing of beauty. It is a fully equipped 21st century theater. We can have plays. We can have music. We can have dance. We can have all kinds of stuff. Maybe we'll even have a chicken show and a dog and pony show, which is what they had in the 19th century. I don't know, you know, I don't have any chickens, but you never know. It could be great. It will be flexible. It will be fun. The programming is most exciting. And I am just thrilled and full of admiration for Gary Shiro, of course, and for Tammy Dillon, who came on like Joan of Arc, and the two of them are like two sides of a wonderful coin. They are so effective and good.
So since you brought it up, what is some of the programming coming up?
Well, one of the fascinating things is that programs are being developed there. So Ethel, which is a string quartet. I mean, that's
yes.
how you describe Ethel as a string quartet. But they do stuff that no string quartet has ever done in the history of the world. They are a multimedia.
I heard them over at the Second Street Foundation.
Right. And they are, and much of what is new that they do, because they can whip off, you know, a Haydn quartet hard with almost without looking. But the development is happening here, and that is amazing. We had a little pre-opening with Bobby Privet, and he is a percussionist, but again, a playwright and a producer and Lord knows what all. And that was amazing. That was developed here in the Opera House. Classics on Hudson, where Gwen Gould has been involved since day one, and Eugenia Zuckerman is now the artistic director, and it's hard to find a bigger name in classical music than Eugenia Zuckerman. And they have a series of fascinating programs coming on, children's programs, classical programs, bankable hit musician programs, all kinds of absolutely great stuff. We have dance coming up. There's an opera coming up. They are going to do The Mother of Us All by Virgil Thompson with a script by Gertrude Stein. And you should all go see that. It's a kind of a pageant. It's not what you're really thinking of as an opera. Highly political, cast of thousands, except I guess everybody's going to be doubling. But anyway, So an opera in the Opera House. The only previous one was Diamond Street, produced by me and Gary. So,
So
there we are.
Yes.
And the wonderful Mary Hack, who has left Hudson but left wonderful memories behind.
Okay.
So that there'll be, and there'll be more and more and more. It's just going to be great.
Okay. What other things have you been involved in up here?
Well, all right. I'm going to get up on my soapbox.
All right.
That's
why you're here.
Yeah, I'm here for the soapbox. I got a puppy 10 years ago from a neighbor, from Vince Pamelio, a wonderful painter. And my old dog had died, and so I got this little thing who turned out to be a holy terror. She was, without a doubt, she's a border terrier, without a doubt, the most utterly aggressive puppy in the history of puppies. So I had to find a people trainer. And I found Susan Fireman, who said, not only are we going to train this puppy, because I'm going to teach you how to be the alpha dog instead of letting this little thing push you around, but she will be a therapy dog. I said, no, Dad. This dog is a killer. You don't want her. No, can't do that. She said, just watch this space. So we did. We went to school. We went to high school, college, and graduate school. She got certified. We started out working at mental health, where I made some of the friends in Hudson that I loved the most. It was really wonderful. And then we moved on to the hospital. And I just want to say to everybody out there who has a dog and some time that if you can go find Canine Link online and a therapy dog. People are afraid to go to the hospital. It's the most rewarding thing I have ever done in my entire life. It is such a joy. And the staff of Columbia Memorial Hospital are such fabulous people. So again, I'm counting them amongst my lifelong friends. So that's my ad for today is please... Okay. Get another therapy dog going. We've only got about 1.5 at the moment.
All righty. And what was the story? Because for those of you out there who might not know this, last weekend or the weekend before, there was a sale of scarves, scarves, at the Hudson Opera House to benefit, of course, the Hudson Opera House. And what's the story behind scarves?
Well, I've been so fortunate in my life to live and work all over the world. I'm a writer, but I had a day job because that's what writers have. And having lived many years in England, I knew a lot of the design community there. And so when I came home, which was in 1983, I started being a consultant and PR person for a lot of the English companies in home furnishings that were moving into the American market. So I was commuting back and forth to Europe. And then a friend of mine who was also a client, Stephanie Odegaard, said, well, I have a new business for you. I said, oh, really? She said, yes. It's in Cambodia. I said, it is what? She said.
You should see Bale's face.
I said, I cannot find this country on a map. What? She said, well, you got to go and find a business because there's some guys that want to do a business there. And it was after the Khmer Rouge. By this time, I was widowed and my kids were out of college. And so I was racing around the world. You know, my time was pretty much my own. So I set off with these two guys that I had met twice to a country I couldn't find on the map to start a business. And I had no idea what they did in Cambodia, if anything. Well, what we found was, of course, drop-dead beautiful country. In those days, none of the fancy hotels and things. They were just pulling themselves out of their terrible nightmare. But I did find some wonderful, wonderful weavers. And we started up, somebody there had started a business with weavers, and so we did that, and I brought them back here, and never was able to build a big business, but it was very interesting. But throughout all of these peregrinations, I was always acquiring fabric, and people were giving me fabric, and I had a friend in Paris, one of my best friends, and she was married to somebody who was very rich, so for Christmas and my birthday, I would get a thing from Paris, and sometimes it was clothing, but very often it was a scarf or a shawl or something that was so beautiful and so rare that I had no idea what it was in some cases. So I, starting to move out of the house, I look in my shawl department and I think, holy cow, there is really a lot of stuff here and it's beautiful and I think people would like to see it. So I had this idea of doing something that would also, it turned out to be really timely because it was in the midst of all of this back and forth about the name of the building. But anyway, so I gave, I think it was 41 scarves, a sari, and a kimono to the opera house, which was theirs to sell. And we put together this sale, which was so much fun, at least for me, because many of my pals showed up that I hadn't seen in ages. I think we sold just about everything. There might be one or two things left somewhere, but somebody's probably wearing them around the place at this stage. And everybody looked so pretty in them, and they all tried everything on. And it was a ton of fun, and I think I've never gotten the final number. I have to go and torture Gary, but he's putting the gala together. That's on the 22nd, the gala opening of the new theater. So
the proprietor's ball?
The proprietor's ball. And it sold out in about 17 minutes, like a like a Bruce Springsteen concert. I was just, I mean, it was amazing.
Yes, I know. I tried.
And, well, there's an after party at 9 with dancing, music, and dessert, and wine, and all kinds of good stuff. And okay. I think, isn't it $50? I'm pretty sure that's how much it is.
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Yeah, and there's tons of room. So anybody that either found the proprietor's ball a little rich for their budget or didn't make it is certainly more than welcome to come and just look at this gorgeous space.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
That's good to know and good for our listeners to know. Another thing is that because you talked about getting ready to move. That's how you found those scarves. Where are you going?
Well, we are going to Brunswick, Maine. I have been going to around Blue Hill and Deer Isle really all my life. One of my closest friends is up there, and she says that I met her when we were 16. Mm-hmm. So it isn't all my life, but it's all but 16 years of it, which is a vast majority, let's face it.
Yes.
But always really to that same area, which is not the most trafficked area in the world. My dear late husband Jerry Green's family had a teeny cottage perched on a rock, not on an island, I'm happy to say, because I don't like to get stuck on places I can't get out of. But anyway, it's adorable. It's tiny. It's not winterized. I can pack about a zillion people in there, but it is really, really little. And that has been our summer, really, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave loves it. Dave Sharp, my husband now, and friend, lifelong friend. He had a cottage not so far away, so that's part of our lives. I have a lot of cousins up there. I have a lot of friends up there. So we thought moving in a college town, if you're going to move to a retirement place,
mm-hmm.
one of the criteria in my mind has always been you've got to be in a college town
mm-hmm.
because you'll have all kinds of ages around and you'll also have lectures and concerts and all the things that college
yeah.
towns have.
Exactly.
So that is what Brunswick has. It has Bowdoin College,
mm-hmm.
which has two museums and all kinds of marvelous stuff, and you can audit courses there, and the cousins seem to be absolute founts of good advice for people. I have to tell you, there is still, at least last weekend, there was snow on the ground, which is not my favorite thing about it, but maybe we'll go, we have kids in New Orleans, maybe we'll go down there for
right.
March and the first part of April.
New Orleans, well, it's not, that's not too bad.
No. It's very excellent.
Yeah. No, this would be the time of year to go to New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Or in October, but not in September.
No.
Not in August.
Not in
I've
August.
Been there then. It was.
It can be pretty brutal.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
And it can be pretty tough in January and February. I do remember one year when we had no snow up here, and the New Orleans kids had snow in their yard. But
wow.
That's where the grandchildren are. Well, where the grandchildren were, anyway. They're two of them are pretty grown up now, so they're out of there. But it's a great place, and they're great people. But they're in Maine in the summertime.
Yes.
So that's another reason for all of that.
Okay. That's good to know. Fail, is there anything else you'd like to share about your time in Hudson? Because we're coming close to the end of the hour, so I thought... Anything else? I'm so glad you're here. This has been just such a treat for me.
Well, it's been a treat for me, for sure. And I think Hudson is really the most extraordinary town. The level of creativity and excitement and youth and, I mean, the schools are improving by the minute. The housing, the rezoning, which I was involved in a peripheral kind of a way, certainly not one of the planners. I think it's just extraordinary that actually happened. I think that the future for Hudson is just absolutely gorgeous, and I know that route back and forth from Brunswick, like the palm of my hand, so you're not getting rid of me.
Okay. Well, I may have to find my way to Brunswick, Maine, just to see what it's all about.
You're required to.
Because I have never heard of Brunswick, Maine.
Well, you need your horizons broadened.
All right,
it's
I guess
really
I do.
Amazing.
I have been in Maine, but only briefly.
Well, that's all going to change.
All right.
We got to get Matt up there.
Okay.